I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro, blown about every wind of doctrine by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But instead, speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So when I was in elementary school, I went to Christmount growing up, and I went there for a week of summer camp when I was in third grade, so that probably puts me maybe like 7 or 8, somewhere around in there. And I don't really remember a ton about summer camp, but I remember one counselor there named Red. And of course, he had like red, shaggy hair right in my head. He has like almost like a big, full red beard. And he was also really tall, or at least he was to like a 4'8". But in my head, he really was like 6'4", 6'5". I think he was a pretty big guy. And he was like one of the best counselors I had. He taught me, which I have no idea if this is true or not, but you could eat certain leaves off trees if you were hiking, and they could give you nourishment. So we went around camp and just eating leaves off trees for the whole week. He would stand inside the pool, in a pool that no longer exists, and since he was very tall, we would try to drown him, and he would just chuck us, right, just throw us forever. And he even taught me how to blow chocolate, or how to blow bubbles in chocolate milk with both nostrils, not just one, but with both. But the thing I remember the most about Red was the very first night. I had excruciating homesickness growing up. I could go to my best friend's house for my entire life, and I would come home that night crying, missing home. And so my mom sent me out knowing this would be a risk, knowing she might have to drive 3 hours at midnight to come get me. But he stayed up the whole night with me. Never told anybody about it. I mean, I didn't have a single camper ask me about it. I didn't have a single counselor ask me about it. And he knew that if I made it the first night, you could make it the whole week, right? And I was just amazed, still looking back on that, like how significant of a thing that was he did for me. He was doing what I read about in Ephesians. He was kind of keeping the whole body of Christ together that week at camp. So as Chris kind of told you, like what I do for the region, what I don't do, or what I do for a living, not what I don't do, is that I am a teacher. So youth are just a passion of who I am as a person. And so I believe in the camps that we do as a region. And I help to plan youth events around the state. We lead RCYW, which you guys have 3 members of them. They're sitting kind of here paying really close attention to me. I also coordinate summer camps at Camp Caroline and Christmount. We recruit directors and counselors, and we create curriculum. So you can probably tell that church camps is a super important part of my life. Now, I'm not a biblical scholar. I didn't go to seminary. The extent of my biblical application is my own mind, sermons from ministers, and Google. But I can tell you that, as with most letters from Paul, he's writing from inside a prison. There are some indications that this letter to the Ephesians is more of like a letter to all the churches, and we just have a copy of this one from the Ephesians, or it could just have been like a letter to this particular church at the time. Either way, we know Paul was writing a letter to a church. It does not matter which church it is, and it doesn't matter if it's one, us, Hillier, church, Ephesians. It could be one or many. But Paul's letter could not be clear in this scripture because he's calling the church, right, my church, your church, to keep the body together. So in a world that seems to value division over unity, war over peace, yelling over discourse, we are reminded by Paul that we're called to maintain the unity of the Spirit. It's almost like Paul knew where we would be in 2019. right? It's like he's warning us that we have to create spaces because of everything out there so that we can keep the body of Christ together. To me, Paul's the perfect summer camp director, because from his letter, he understands that we desperately need this place of accepting, of love, of nurturing, and compassion. And that's the beauty of my job, right? Is that we call this church, but church is a pretty loose term in my world. Because for most of my life, church doesn't look like sitting in the pews or singing hymns. I did all that stuff. It's just not what I remember church being like. So we recently got a new minister at Hillier, Troy Tatum, who came from the southern part of the United States, and he had us do an activity, right? And he drew the timeline of our church out Hillier for about 100 years back and asked us to put important things on that timeline that we remember about happening within our church life, right? And nobody wrote down a single sermon, right? Nobody wrote down a hymn, right? Nobody wrote down communion. But everybody wrote down so much stuff, and it was all so different, right? People's baptisms were up there. They had 90th birthdays up there. We had church camp up there, and it dated all the way back. The earliest one we had was a member that had joined in 1950, and it came all the way up to today. But everybody's church looked different. Like for me, church looks like maybe for some of our youth here, sitting on the pier at Camp Caroline, singing camp songs, hiking up to the top of Rocky Knob if you've been to Christ Mount for a sunrise. Maybe even saying those dreaded goodbyes at the end of a great week of camp or a mission week. So every year, our region, the Christian Church of North Carolina, hosts 2 high school retreats, 2 middle school retreats, and then 10 summer camps, 7 at Camp Caroline and 3 at Christ Mount. And this is kind of how I feel like we as the church, Christian Church of North Carolina, live out Paul's call in Ephesians. It's how our region fulfills Paul's challenge to us to maintain the body of God's creation, right? So just real quickly, because I know Bob Kendall's in here, and I already know his hand's going to be up longer than anybody else. Just a show of hands if you've been to camp ever in your life. Camp Caroline, Christ Mount, summer camp, a mission week, whatever you would consider kind of like a summer experience of camp. All right, put your hand up if it was at Camp Caroline or Christ Mount. So that drops a little bit. So then your hands stay, and let's walk it backwards. If you've been to camp in the last 5 years, your hand would stay up, right? In the last 10 years, this will be our young guys probably start dropping. If you've been to camp the last 15 years as a camper, 20 years, I know I'm getting close, Bob, right? 30 years ago, a camper, 40 years ago, a camper, doing the math, 50 years ago, a camper, all right, 60, all right, 70, there's some hands in the area, 70, 80, has anybody been to camp 80 years ago as a camper? That's pretty impressive. So you can tell, right, that camp is an important part of your church. It's an important part of our region. And like I said, I grew up going to Christ Mount. My family is a full generation disciple family. We actually figured out last night that our kids are the 4th generation of disciples. We grew up in Greensboro. I learned to swim at Christ Mount in that pool that no longer exists. That's where I learned to swim. I learned about Guastavino. I had my first childhood crush on a lifeguard who never knew I existed and did not return the second year, so maybe she did know I existed, I don't know. But I learned songs like Eddie Coochie Catchy, Sanctuary, See Ya Humba. I spent hours hanging out on the blacktop, hours into the night talking to friends and counselors. I made lifelong friends, many who were in my wedding, many who I was in their weddings. I learned what the Holy Spirit means. I learned to listen to the Holy Spirit. I learned to pray. I learned what it means to be like a disciple of Christ, right? Like what our denomination is. I learned that our table really does mean all means all, and everybody is welcome without exception. During my time at church camp, I was taught the exact same thing that Paul was writing in his letter. In fact, it's why we still do camp today. It's why Casey's at Camp Caroline. It's why I'm up here today, because we know church camp plays a valuable role in the lives of our youth and how they grow up. So last year, there was this article on Facebook titled, Why Camp Friends Are the Best Friends. I think some of you probably saw it. In fact, Jeremy Hopkins went to the camp where the lady wrote the article from. But she attended Disciples Crossing, which is a Disciples of Christ church camp in Texas. And she goes through 11 reasons why church camp friends are the best friends. She talks about they've known you for years. They make you the person you are today. They trusted you and liked you in your middle school years. They understand the importance of horizontal time or just rest, right? These are the friends that laugh and cry with you. And then obviously no matter what the distance is or time is between your friends of church camp, you can kind of pick right back up where you left off. But she gives us two really important reasons to me that I felt like were just perfect for church camp. It's why so many people find joy and comfort at Camp Caroline or Christ Mount or Disciples Crossings or any camp around the region. Two of those reasons that she mentions are that you, or one of the reasons she mentions that you're invited to be your true and weird self, right? Your authentic self. No one passes judgment. No one excludes you. You're completely accepted. It's hard to find a place anywhere like that with that level of acceptance. And in our scripture, Paul doesn't say that all this work's going to be easy, right? But that's the beauty of church camp, is that like we're working to create that space like that. The author of the camp says, or the author of the article says, there's something about camp that brings out your true self. Camp friends don't care how weird you are, probably because they're just as weird as you are. They just accepted you for who you are. It's almost like Paul wrote that blog post for us, like in 2017, if he rewrote his letter to the church. He reiterates that we're called to accept every one of God's children. He calls us to be humble and gentle. He calls us to be patient, bearing in love with one another. He calls us to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit together, which is exactly what I read in that article from the Disciples Crossing camper. If our youth can't find a place to be accepted out there, I'll bet they can find it at church camp or at churches like this. The author ends the article with the most important reason why church camp friends are the best friends. She says, camp friends understand how scary it is the last moment when you're on the campgrounds. She says, after you've said your goodbyes to the people, you took your last pictures, loaded up your stuff, you looked out the van window one more time and froze with fear. The place made you who you are. It was witness to the oblivious elementary days, accepted you during your awkward middle school phase, and loved you during your roller coaster high school days. It was one of the few consistencies in your life, and everyone graduating with you was terrified to say goodbye. So I don't think she's trying to say they're never going to find a space like that again. I think hopefully we've all found spaces like that in our life, because it seems a little bit extreme, right? But if I look on Facebook, or if I watch the news, or if I just watch at my own middle school, I'm not so sure it isn't true in more of the spaces than not, right? When kids leave church camp, they go back to a world that's full of judgment and jealousy and pride and peer pressure. And that list just goes on. And so we teach them at church camp how to create those spaces out there for themselves and for their peers. But it's still tough to leave a spot like church camp because it just feels so special, right? It's like, it's just kind of right, you know? A lot of campers will tell you that they're Christians today because of what camp meant to them as a young disciple. For many of our youth, it's where they learn that, as Paul says, there is one body and one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all. So when I talk about camp today, just because of my age and how much wisdom I've gained over the last few years, I can tell you now how much camp played an important part of my life or important role in my life. But as a camper, I don't think I could tell you the importance of learning to pray at like Vacation Bible School, right? Or at Christ Mount or Camp Caroline. I didn't know the biblical stories that we were getting through keynotes and small groups would help me become a better husband and father. I couldn't tell you that a camper, I was being taught to just be still and know in the moment, right? When we ask kids to do that at camp, it feels like an eternity, but it's so valuable skill now. I didn't know that I would have a greater responsibility like Paul challenges us to keep the body of Christ together. So there's a lot of young campers who don't know that yet. They know they're going through it, but they don't know why. And they're not going to be tossed back and forth by the waves of life that Paul reminds us of, because they're going to have a firm foundation to stand on, right, from church camp. They won't be blown by every wind of teaching, by the cunningness and craftiness of people, but they will have a strong Christian church community who can support them along the way, who they can reach out to and ask those questions. These campers will be speaking the truth in love. They will be a part of God's family, Christ's body who grows and builds themselves up in love. And for many of our youth, I really do think that a lot of it starts at church camp. And I'll end with an example that I think is perfect when a youth doesn't realize how good it is. So we had a CUF fall retreat that I think all of these guys were here for when Reverend Catherine Campbell was our keynoter, and she was talking about this idea of wearing masks, right? Do you guys remember that? And we went to worship, And she had us write on the back of the mask things that we didn't want other people to see, right? So like your self-consciousness, right? Maybe your sexuality or just different things that you were trying to hide from the regular world back in high school. And she encouraged us to realize that despite all of that, we were perfectly made in the image of God, and we shouldn't have to hide behind these masks. We should live out who we are. So during worship that Saturday night, we had made these masks, and we all wore them to worship. And if you can imagine, they're like little party masks that you would see like at a masquerade party. And everybody had written those things on the back of those masks: sickness, poverty, family issues, divorce, whatever the case is. And while we were in worship, she asked us to go talk to each other. And she posed the question, why are you wearing the mask, right? So I kind of sought out a pretty quiet, shy camper who I felt like maybe hadn't found his place yet at a weekend retreat. And he just looked right at me. I didn't even ask a question. He said, "It's just weird. I feel more comfortable behind my mask," right? I was like, man. So for communion at worship, we said the words institution, we broke the bread, we drank the wine, and then everybody laid their mask on the communion table, right, for giving that over to God. Let him bear that for you. And that was the closing moment worship. So I stood up. I was going to let everybody go to the pier for the night for an hour or so. And I kind of just looked out over the crowd of high schoolers and sought that kid out just to kind of see what he looked like. He just looked content, right? Like almost satisfied. He was sitting up straight. I think he just looked comfortable, right? I don't think he could tell you in that moment why he felt the way he did, but he felt way more comfortable right then than he did when he and I were talking 15 minutes ago. But I knew what happened. Like I said, I've grown in wisdom, and I'm able to look back on the reflection in my own faith, and I knew that he was more comfortable out from behind his mask at that moment because he knew he had a place at the table, right? He knew he had a place at church camp. He knew he had friends. He knew he had a place that valued unity over division. And in that moment, I think even if it's just for a moment, he felt like a member of a church family, right? That church camp or that church opened a special place for him, and it's probably held a special place for you at some point if you went to camp. And I know it's going to hold a special place for any camper that comes through the doors going forward because it's what we do at church camp, right? It's just what Christ does at church camp. He creates that space. And so as you honor your camp day to day, I'm excited to be here. I want you to know that we have a space for you at camp. We have a space for your kids at camp, your grandkids at camp, your neighbor's kids, your nieces and nephews, your friends of friends. We have a space for them that we work hard to create where they're going to feel that they are a part of the body of Christ. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, today we want to give you thanks for providing a place in your world that is designed to nurture our youth and help them grow in your love. We give you thanks for Camp Caroline and Christmount. Thank you for those lifelong friendships, the conversations on the pier, and the boundless love and acceptance felt while we are there. In your son's name we pray. Amen.